We see our Kiddush HaKadosh, okay? That's the real Kiddush HaKadosh. But it's tied into Megillah also. Alright. Yeah. You know, in the Pasuk, in the Torah, in the Pesukim, in the Karbanos, in Pinchas, so the Pasuk says, so you always makriv on Yom Tovim besides the what do you call it, besides the Olos, okay, besides the Olos, you makriv Chatas, all right? So, okay, so you have a whole system of Olos there. In the Yom Tovim, like for instance, on Pesach, the Grafta Mishal Lo Hashem, Parmenevach Hashem Vayalechot, Shavikos Hashem Tmim Yilacham. And then, of course, you have the Seir Chatas Echad. Alright? So you always have the Seir Chatas. On Rosh Chodesh, you also have the same thing. You have the Olos. So you have the Olos, and then you have the Nesachim, and then Usirizimochalachatos. But there's one difference. Over here it says Ladashem. Yeah, we say Ladashem. Okay. So it's the only time where it says Ladashem by the Sir Chatos. Okay. So this Chatos. This chatos is although it's the same carbon chatos, but over here the Torah adds an extra word, Lar Hashem. So the question is, of course, why? And the Rambam deals with it in the Mar Nevuchim. So the Rambam gives a brilliant answer. The Rambam says that the Mar Nevuchim, it's in the let me see. It's in XLV1. Let's figure it out. That's 46. Okay, chapter 46 in the third book. All right, and it's a few pages in. If you have the paperback edition, it's on page 365. All right. It is only the goat brought on the new moon as a sin offering that the law calls a sin offering unto the Lord. The sin offerings brought on the three festivals are not called so, nor are any other sin offerings. The reason thereof is, according to my opinion, undoubtedly this. The additional offerings brought by the congregation at certain periods were all burnt offerings. Only one kid of goats to make an atonement was offered on every one of these exceptional days. Alright, like we said, the latter was eaten by the priests, while the burnt offerings were entirely consumed by fire, and are called an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The phrases a sin offering unto the Lord and a peace offering unto the Lord do not occur in the law, because these were eaten by man. But even those sin offerings that were entirely burnt cannot be called an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as we'll explain in the course of the chapter. Okay, let me get to the main point. It is therefore impossible that the goats which are eaten by the priests are not entirely burnt be called sin offerings unto the Lord. Okay, so he says it shouldn't. He's explaining why it shouldn't say. Lashem. But as it was found that the kid offered on the new moon might be mistaken as an offering brought to the moon, in the manner of the Egyptians who sacrificed to the moon on the days of the new moon. It was distinctly stated that this goat is offered in obedience to God's command and not in honor of the moon. This fear did not apply to the sin offerings on the festivals, nor to any other sin offering, because they were not offered on the days of the new moon, or on any other day marked out by nature, but on such days as were selected by the divine will. Okay, because the Yom Tovim don't come out. The Yom Tovim do not come out in any way consistently with the astronomical phenomena. Shavuos is in the early part of the month, and Pesach is in the middle, and Sukkot is in the middle, Rosh Hashanah is in the beginning. The Yom Tovim do not coincide with any kind of astronomical phenomena. So therefore, no one would ever make the mistake of thinking that has something to do with somehow or other some kind of powers in the celestial bodies. All right. So the Rambam says, even though really it shouldn't say chatas l'Hashem, because l'Hashem implies kulo kolo, it's completely consumed, and over here, by chatas the kahana meet part of the chatas. So he says, but nevertheless, over here it was necessary to write chatas l'Hashem. Why? Because over here, this carbon, this sacrifice, always coincides with what? With an astronomical phenomenon of the new moon. And people are liable to make a mistake and think that there's somehow or other the Torah recognizes some kind of power in the moon. This is dangerous. This is Avodah Zarah. So he says, on the new moon, the idolaters sacrifice to the moon in the same manner as they sacrificed to the sun when it rose and set in certain particular degrees. This is described in the works mentioned above. He means the books on idolatry that he quotes. On this account, the extraordinary phrase, a sin offering unto the Lord, is exceptionally introduced, meaning it doesn't really belong there, because chatas is not Lord Hashem, because it's not completely consumed. Nevertheless, over here, it has to be here. Why? It's exceptionally introduced in reference to the goat brought on the new moon in order to remove the idolatrous ideas that were still lingering in the sorely diseased hearts. Okay. Yeah. So this is the Rambam's interpretation. Because there was a big, it's his interpretation, and it's a beautiful shot. I mean, fact is that this is the whole Kol HaTorah Kula is to remove a person from primitive idolatrous ideas, and over here there was a danger, so the Torah recognized the danger, and immediately remedied it by putting in Chatas L'Hashem, exceptional, because Chatas really in L'Hashem is a problem, like the Rambam says. But over here, it means L'Hashem L'Afuki, to exclude any other kind of notions that the primitive urges of man might set forth. The Torah immediately excludes it. Okay. But there's a Gemara in Chulin. And it's a difficult Gemara. It's a Gemara that, Ilmole mikra kasa v'yeshel omra, I would say ilmole chazal ze kasa v'yeshel omra. It's a very, very funny kind of chazal. The Gemara is in Chulin Das Samach Amad Beis. Okay. Yeah. Gemara is in Chulin Das Samach Amad Beis. Alright, the Gemara is like this. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi Rami. He asked the question. God made the two great luminaries. Then it says it is a Tata de Sasri. Then later it says the big one, then it says a small one. By the way, an astronomer gave a very good shot in the Pshuta Shel Mikra. He said that to the naked eye, the moon appears exactly as the same size as it does to, as the sun does to the naked eye. But in reality, you know, the sun is much, much greater. So he says that explains the Pesukim from a factual standpoint. Shneim Hamoros HaGedolim means insofar as the eye is concerned. And amazingly, it's exactly the same size to the naked eye. He says, but it's a more guttle, the one that's really big, it's a more cut in reality. It's very, very good shot, very good shot. But, okay, but Chazal here are darshaning the psukim, and the darshaning the psukim, yeah, I mean, by the way, just Ados Lachi, name of Bamilsa, the, of course, you see, the Yom HaRavi, the Yom HaRavi in Sefer Bereishis is really out of order. I mean, it's out of order, as you know. I mean, I don't mean out of order. I mean by out of order, the fact that the Torah really, that's not when they were created. That's not when Chazal said they weren't created. Because first were the heavens. Bereishis Elokim es Hashamayim. The SRS. First was the Shemayim, and this is part of Shemayim, but they were fixed. They were kavua in Yom Ravi. But you see, there's an interesting thing, and I think this is one of the we always try to understand the first parshas in the Torah. One of the yesodas, I believe, in understanding the parshas, the first parshas, is the Torah is not giving a description of the creation in terms of the absolute laws of physics that God employed in order to create the universe, but it is doing that with a view towards man. In other words, it's isolating certain phenomena insofar as it affects man. It's not a depiction of what the scientists call the Big Bang. It's an isolation of phenomena that were, as Chazal say, olu b'machshava in relationship to man. Because in the very primary matter, there was consideration was given to this earth, as small as it is, and how the entire creation will relate to this earth, and so that man can exist. So there is in creation, there are really two systems. There's a system of the creation, laws of the creation in general, and then the laws of the creation insofar. Man was taken into the cheshbon, into the account of the initial creation. And that's why the pasuk says, the first thing that Pesukim do is to dispel any kind of supernatural powers that people might ascribe to the heavenly bodies, as all the primitive people did and do. And that's why it says simply, the pasuk says, "Vayu laosos lamoadim uliyamim v'shanim." You see, because many people ask questions, what is that doing in the account of Bereshis? Who cares what we mean? Laosos lamoadim uliyamim v'shanim. What does it mean? So Rashi says ulamoadim. Rashi says, well, what is moadim? Okay, so moadim means times. But Rashi says, "Alshem ha'osit shasivim Yisrael et stavos alamodos, vein nimnim l'molad halavana." All right. So according to Rashi, I mean, even the halacha was taken into consideration. But the main thing, the pasuk. What's the main objective of the pasuk is to remove everyone from the concept, from any notion that these heavenly bodies have any other type of purpose than to give to man, to help man in terms of determining his zmanim. That's all it is. There's nothing else. Nothing else. That's really what the Pesukim came for. Because the Torah immediately rules out, right, astrology or any kind of mystical powers relating to the heavenly bodies, and it's just laosos and lamoadim aliyam v'shan. That's it. Nothing else. It means that's not the Lamoadim, but according to Rashi, Lamoadim wouldn't be, but the Laosos. What is Laosos? Laosos means, that a ship is in the middle of the sea and he has to know which direction is north. He sees the north star. It's Laosos. The Yomim, the Shanim, I mean, is Dava Pashit. Moadim, yeah. Asher Cholak Hashem Lekech Osim Lechol Amim is, according to Rashi, wouldn't be Lamoadim. I mean, Lamadim he can interpret also in a physical way too, but Rashi interprets Lamadim, means actual Madim. Okay. But the point is that there's nothing wrong with Rashi's interpretation. It's very good because, as I said, the whole purpose of the explaining Bereshis is really to explain it insofar the creation, isolate elements of the creation insofar as they affect man. It's not a sefer on physics. That's not the purpose. Okay, so we'll get back to this a little later also. But anyways, yeah, that's the first thing, is to remove any kind of the concept of Avodah Zarah. All right, but now you have this Chazal, this funny Chazal. Chazals are like this, that they al piderach drush. The Gemara says it's a stira. That's a stira. Why? Because first it says Shnei Amaras Agedolim, and then it says Amar Katan. So Gemara says Amar Yireach Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yireach said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Efshel Shnei Malachim Sheishtamshu BeKesser Echad. How can you have two kings using one crown? Amalah. So God said, L'chiyum Miyateis Atzmech. Okay, you have a point. So go reduce your own size. Amar lefanav. So the Yireach said to God, Ribono shel Olam, Hov amarti lefanecha dover hogun amitis atzmi. Because I came up with a good idea, so that's why I'm the one that has to suffer. I should be reduced in size. Amar lo, so God said to the Areah, L'chiyu mishol bayom uva laila. So, okay, so you'll be superior. Because the moon is in the day, you see the moon in the daytime, you see it at nighttime also. Amar lo, so the moon said to God, Myra buse, what does that help me? Dishraga batira. What does it help to have a candle in the daytime? It means the moon, you can see the moon in the daytime, but it doesn't do anything. It's useless. Okay? My rabusa, the shrag of a tira, my honey. Shrag of a tira. What does a candle help in the middle of the day? On my law, so God said to the moon, Zil limnu b'cho Yisrael yomim v'shanim. Okay, so you will be a medium for the counting of days and years. Amrolei, so it means insofar as the moad, the calendar. Yeah. Amrolei, so the moon said to God, Yumonami Efshidalom Moni Bay Tekufta to Kufusa, all right? It's Kufus. Dechsiv Ayula Oso Sumadimulyamin Vishanim. So the moon said, yeah, but the sun also plays a role because of the Tekufus. So it's true that it's a lunar calendar, but the frame is a solar frame. So the Gemara says, so I'm not superior to the sun. So God said, Zil likru tzadiki v'shmecha, that the tzadikim will be called by your name. Yaakov akotin, Shmuel akotin, David akotin. So therefore. You should feel better because this tzaddikim will employ your term that reflects you. Chazya de lo kol miyasva daito. So God saw that the moon was still unhappy, wasn't satisfied. Amar kadosh baruch hu. So God said, Heviu kapora alai shemiatati esayarech. Bring a kapara for me that I reduced the size of the moon. Vahainu the Omar of Shim ben Lakish. Manishtana Soro Shurash Chodesh and Emma Bob Hashem. Why did it say Hashem by Soro Shurash Chodesh? Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Soyer Zeh Yehei Kapara al Shemiyat Yisayarech. I mean, Omolech Hazal Kosov, Yehef Shul Omar. It's impossible to say such thing. Chatas Lashem. Chatas Lashem. So it means to say, so to speak, Kavi Yochal, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a kapar. Okay. Yeah. All right. Problems you don't have to raise over here. Okay. The question is, all right, there are many Chazal, but do we take the Chazal seriously? In terms of is it a Chazal that's a cryptic Chazal? We don't know what it means. A lot of Chazal we don't know what it means. But this Chazal, somehow or other, we actually employ it in the bracha of Kiddush Chodesh, on the Kiddush Chodesh after the bracha. So you say Tanu Rabbi Shmuel. That's the Chazal, basically. All right? These Kambon and Mikros, Shekhoz, Vishra, Shemir. What is it? Well, what kind of a tool is it? I'm spalled to the... there should be a change in the... in the... Uh, in, in, in the... what in the solar system? I mean, what kind of a tefillah is that? We're misspelled that the moon isn't big enough for us. And what? I mean, doesn't make any sense altogether. If you're going to say that the moon is going to be like the sun, so when are you supposed to sleep? I mean, there's a cheshbon here, my sabrishus. There's a reason. It's a seder ayam. I mean, it was included in the calculations in God's cheshbonus of the universe was included the fact that we should have a planet that has the sun during the daytime and nighttime is dark, quiet. The person needs both. Both parts of the day. I mean, what's the tefillah? I mean, it's unintelligible. Okay. I mean, there's no doubt that this tefillah has to do with that chazal. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the tefillah has to do with the chazal. Okay. There's one more thing that I would just like to mention that we will come back to. I just want to mention that in this year, what I'm going to do is I'm going to augment. I'm going to sort of take up from where we left off. I think it was last year. And one of the problems we dealt with was the Rambam, where the Rambam says that Lossid Lavo, the famous Rambam, Lossid Lavo, that all you'll have is Chamisha Chumshi Torah and the Megillah Esther. And Megillah Esther. Okay. So, yeah. Kol Sefer Yerushalmi, the end of Megillah. Kol Sefer Navim v'Kol Aksuvim Ma'asidim Mibatel Imosim Mashiach Chus Megillah Esther V'Rei Kayemes Kachamish Shechum Shetorah Kehalacha Shetorah Shavafresh Enem B'Tein Lova. Okay. Yep. And same thing with Yimei Apurim Lo Yivatlo. Yimei Apurim Lo Yivatlo Yavim Techahidim V'Zichum Lo Yasim Yizahim. Okay. So why is that so? What's unique? I mean, what's unique about it? So we spoke. I mean, I'm not going back on what we said, but I think there's something more here that we didn't appreciate last time. All right, now let me just take a go to a halacha. Halacha is the Gemara Megillah says that Chayav Adam Levesume Bepuria, that a person is mechuyev to imbibe alcohol on Purim, more as a Zion base, to become intoxicated. And the Gemara says, "Machayev inish levesum before yod of Zion base, adelo yoda bein oror homon lebaruch Mordechai." Okay, all right. I mean, it's a strange shear. I mean, why that shear? A person is mechuyev l'shtaker. Okay, for some reason. I mean, but what's the shear adala yada? Okay, and that's my question. But you see, the Rambam makes it even more difficult because the Rambam he does not take that Gemara literally. The Rambam, when he explains the Gemara, he says like this. He says, in the Perek Bez Lachat Azov, Keita Chova Suda Zu, Sheyochal Basar, Vyisakin Suda Noa Kefir, Asher Timsa Yodo, Vishosa Yayin, Achi Yishtaker. Okay. Then he says, Vye Rodam Bishikruso. Alright. So what is Vye Rodam Bishikruso? He has to fall asleep. So obviously the Rambam's idea was that that's what it means. That's what the Gemara means. Adelo Yoda Bein Ar Haman Baruch Mordechai. Alright? So, fine. But, I mean, it's a funny kind of a Rambam that that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say that, literally. I mean, and the halacha is not a gadda. So, the Rambam's taking the halacha out of its literal interpretation, its literal pshat. Anyway, where did the Rambam have the right to do that? The Gemara doesn't say until he falls asleep. I mean, so what does the Rambam mean? It sounds like derech tachos. Sounds like you're interpreting a medrash. I mean, okay, what does it mean? You're sleeping, so you don't know the difference. I mean, between our Baruch Marachai. But I mean, that's not the pshat. Halacha doesn't work that way. Halacha has a literal meaning. And where did the Rambam come along to take this Gemara out of its literal interpretation and give it, so to speak, like an agadic type of interpretation? If you're sleeping, so you don't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Ar Haman. I mean, it's a funny kind of a interpretation in the halachic sphere. Halachic don't work that way. Okay. That's a difficulty. All right. Now, what I want to do is let's go to the to a question in the Megillah itself. All right, question in the Megillah itself. The Megillah itself. All right, so the Megillah says that Mordechai told Hasoch everything that happened. It's in Dalet Zion. Okay, everything that happened, and then he gave Hasoch the Paschegen Ksavados to show Esther and to tell her to go before the king, right? And to ask for Klal Yisrael. So she said, just a minute. There's a danger over here, because if we come before the king of Shelly Kore, Achas Dasa Lahamis. Alright. So then they told Mordechai, it's Divrei Esther. So Mordechai was angry. Then Mordechai lost your last out to Dami Venafshech, we molly based on Melch Mikolay. Don't think that you're going to save your life. And the Jews are going to and the Jews are not going to be saved. He says no. On the contrary, Kim Hachresh Tachrishi Beis Hazos Revach Vatzolo Yamod LaYehudim Mokam Acher Va'atu Veisavich Tavedo. Umi Yadei and Leis Kazos Gat LaMalchus. Seems like one party was sure about, the other party wasn't too sure about. Revach Vatzolo Yamod LaYehudim was certain. Okay. And then Mia Dayam lays to those, he got the muscles, maybe. Alright. So yeah. So then Esther answered Lech Kinosis Kola Hidam and Imsim Bishushan with two more live Altoch Altishta. Okay, what's the Shaykhus being what her answer to Mordechai saying? And what Mordechai said, I mean, how is he so certain? I mean, how is he so certain that, if he's so certain, so what's the problem? Why do you have to have the Tzomos and Tanesim and all thing? I mean, he's certain. So, fine. So if that's the case, there's no problem. He doesn't even have to talk to Esther. So that's the Tata the Sasha. And then also, he added one thing. He says, Va'at uves avich tovedu. Now you and the house of your father are going to be destroyed. How does he know that? I don't know. Let's say she doesn't go. So, let's say he held that definitely, okay, has to be that way. Fine. So what? Fine. But now, how does he know that Esther is going to be destroyed and the house of her father is going to be destroyed? Where do you see that? Where's it right for that? Maybe she'll escape too. Okay? All right, that's the problem over here. What I want to say is like this. last year, we spoke about the fact that the Megillah really deals with what we called a crazy logic. Right? In other words, that the that Haman was operating with political savvy, with a Machiavellian logic, in order to bring about his desires, the results that he desired, okay? And Mordechai also employed political means, you see, with the bits of the Seresh, okay? So he was careful to gain favor in the eyes of the king, and he used logic, political logic, also employed political logic. But then it came to a certain point, and that's the end of the logic. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachva means to say that he abandoned the political intellectual approach. He abandoned it completely, and he said, "That's it." Now, this is the outcome. This is it. Can't go any further. Now, we simply have to go by one thing: the halacha, the hilchas of Arazara, and there's no other possibility. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, of course, the whole Megillah is that his crazy logic prevailed. That's the whole Megillah, really. What's the whole Megillah? That the crazy logic prevailed over the political logic. Okay? Yeah. So, what I want to do is just one thing. The word crazy means like this. It means to say a logic that is completely contrary to what your intelligence would dictate results should bring about results. Okay? Because the Mordechai lo yichor lo yishtachar was really something that was crazy. Because here the melech gave a tzivui from the king is with the orders. And anyone that defies, I mean, Esther was afraid to walk in. Can you imagine what it meant to just to there? She didn't do anything wrong. But what did they do? They just walked in there. So you see from the Megillah what kind of a tyrant he was, Ahasuerus. He was a crazy tyrant. Somebody walks in there, wrong time, depends on his mood. In bad mood, you're dead. Good mood, fine. So you see. He was a capricious type of tyrant. He instilled fear in his subjects. So you can imagine when he gave a command to bow down and you defied that command, it's death. There's no question about it. So, but here Mordechai, death for Mordechai, and it would mean also for all the Jews. My worse. Wouldn't have a chance. But here Mordechai said no. Here we have to follow a different kind of a logic. What's that logic? That logic is simply the logic that the Torah dictates. That there are certain things that we simply can't change. And now we have to go into the world of the eternals, the eternal ideas, which are the eternal ideas of the Torah, and simply have a total disregard for the practical. Complete disregard for the practical. That's what Mordechai suggested. And that's why I told Esther. He said, that's it. She gave him a practical answer. She said, just a minute, let me think this over. Maybe we can work out a different way. The melech, v'anilon k'reisi l'vol ha-melech z'shloshim yom. Maybe let's think this over. Here Mordechai moved and he said, no. Now you can't use that kind of logic. That's why Mordechai was angry. Because Esther was employing the kind of the logic that he had decided he had to abandon. Okay, you're saying the same thing. Let's think it over. Maybe I'll get killed, this and that. But Mordechai realized at that moment is that now's not the time for that anymore. That has to be abandoned. And the only logic we have to use is the logic which is based upon the system of the metaphysical system, the system of ideas of Torah and Ashgaha. That's the realm we have to operate in, nothing else. Okay, that's basically was the machlokes between Esther and Mordechai. Mordechai said, no, we cannot use that kind of thing now. So, yeah. What I would like to do is just to explain a little more clarity to what exactly that means. Okay, what exactly that means.
Are you saying there was another choice?
That's what I mean, like the Rav said. As nice as the halachic system is, the halachic system is very kind. It works out all kinds of ways to get out of this and that, so that it's really, the halacha is heavy in the theoretical, and it's light in terms of practical restrictions. That's drachei dachei noam, but sometimes you can't do anything. That's it, you're stuck. Sometimes you're stuck. That's what the Rav wrote that article, Surrendering to the Almighty. Sometimes, you can't do anything, and at the end of the line, there's no more heterim, there's no more ways to twist it this way, that way, and that's it. Yeah. It was with intent. It was an intent to demonstrate that this Avodah Zarah cannot take place. Yeah. There's no question about it. You're right. I mean, it's a good point. It could have went somewhere else. Shara Malach, no. Yeah. So you see again that you see even more that he abandoned, not only did he abandon intentionally the whole political savvy, how to think in terms of cause and effect in the world of politics. Okay. You see, what I want to say is what exactly of course the example that we gave of the crazy logic and the practical logic is one of the best examples is from Avraham Avinu. With the Kishon Eish, it's the same thing. And Nochor is I'm not saying that. Yeah. Haran, I'm sorry, Haran. Haran used the political, the business, the businessman's type of logic. Avram said, is it? He went to the Kishon HaEish. And Haran said, let me see what happens. Let me see what happens. So he waited and he saw Avram was saved, and then he jumped into it. That was a practical businessman's kind of logic. That's what it says. That was the result. That's a perfect example of the two types of logic. It means to say that Yad just demands at a certain point that we abandon every kind of political logic and we simply do what it's the end, that's it. You have to just do what Allah says. But I want to explain to you that this is not just a craziness, but it's based on a yesod. What is the yesod? And I think this is the yesod of the Ashgacha. The yesod is, let me give you an example to explain it, okay? It has to do with the idea of existence. It has to do with the idea of existence. You know what I mean? You know, the whole essence of Yadus is that God's existence is the only real existence. Every other existence stems from God, but it doesn't partake of the same kind, the quality of existence as God. But like the Rav one time said, he said, what's the purpose of that first yesod? It's true, it's philosophically, we have to know it. But it also gives a person a goal. It means the goal of all human life is to partake of existence to the greatest possible degree that man can. And the way the whole Derech HaTorah gives a person true existence insofar as a human being is capable of having existence. That's really the goal. You want to sum up the goal of Kol Tarkum? That's the goal. Okay. Now, I just want to give a little muscle by what we mean by existence. See, what Yadus posits is that we see things in a different way. In a different way, like for instance, let's say you have an opera singer. Okay? An opera singer is very proud of his voice. All right, Pavarotti. His voice to him is essential. It's essential in his life. Okay, in his life, the existence of his voice is the whole essence around which his whole life revolves. That's essential. But let's see. Question: if someone would want to describe Pavarotti's voice in physical terms? So what would you say it is? You say it's merely a phenomenon of the larynx, vibrations, and acoustical phenomena. I mean, that's all it is, basically. To a physicist, it's nothing. It's very little difference between his voice and an ordinary voice. Okay? Yeah, no difference. It's maybe a quantitatively a little dirty. The angle, the echoes, whatever, the larynx, minutiae that are really, in the world of physics, would not be even recognized. Okay? But subjectively, to him, this is essential. Alright? Now, of course, Pavarotti's wrong. In the world of reality, his voice has no real existence. It's just in his mind it has an existence. But in the world of reality, since the world of reality is based on the world of physics, so his voice is just nothing. I mean, it's no different than anybody else's voice, except in minutiae, which are irrelevant, basically. Okay? So it's just a fantasy of his mind and his emotions that give this physical phenomenon some kind of value, endows with a certain value. This is completely unreal, completely imaginary. Okay? Because the real world is dependent upon the laws of physics. All right? So what I'm showing you is that you could have a phenomenon that a person that in reality is nothing, wouldn't even be recognized, and yet the person can ascribe to it a fantasy which does not exist, it's non-existent. Basically, all the types are in a sense non-existent. Okay, because they're not based upon any kind of reality other than the the individual's what the individual projects onto it. Okay, but I'm not going to go there right now. But anyway, at any rate, now I'm just giving you a marshal. Now let's take for instance the world of ethics. Okay. So a person is a good individual, and he's mekayem a mitzvah bein adam lachavero. Right. So let us say without the Torah, does that have any kind of reality? The answer is yes. I mean, yes. There are people, philosophers that talk about this. There are philosophers that don't accept the Torah, but they say that there is some kind of a reality to ethics. Why? Because there are certain results that take place. If people are nice to each other, so then you have a friendly society. Okay? So the reality, you understand? The reality of the ethics is, so to speak, a pragmatic kind of reality. Practical reality. You understand what I'm saying? What does Yadus hold about that? Yadus argues. Yadus says no. That when a person does a maisa of chesed, that is not just an accidental reality, which is a part of a social phenomenon. That's not what it is. But this individual partakes of existence to a higher degree, which means that in terms of there is something else that exists here. It's essential. Ethics does not have accident in the world, in the system that I described to you. The ethical act, it has accidental reality. You understand what I'm saying? It has accidental reality. It has a value. It has a reality there. You see, if people are friendly, so then they get along. There's no war. It's a reality. But the reality of the ethical act is only an accidental reality, because it just exists insofar as certain results take place. Now, you can't deny that results take place, but that's all it is. But Yadus comes along and Yadus says no. That if a person is involved in an act of chesed, that's essential reality. It's essential. It means that the individual, this act, partakes of essential reality. You understand what I'm saying? And the existence of the individual now is on a different plane than it was before he did this act of chesed. So Yadus takes the act of chesed out of the realm of the accidental reality and places it into essential reality, essential existence. It means the person that does chesed is closer to God. He's closer to God. What does it mean? He's closer to God. It means he partakes of existence to a greater degree than he did before he did the act of chesed. Okay? That's the whole Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. What does Rambam say? Perek Zayin Hilchas Tshuva. He says, Emesh Toyezem Ruchok Me'a Kodesh Baruch Hu Nesuav Meshukas V'Toeva Vayom Nechmaru Korvu the Yedid. What's Rambam? Yeah. So what does Rambam mean? What does Rambam saying in Hilchas Tshuva? What's the description? It means that there is essential existence. There is essential existence, an essential reality to the performance of mitzvahs. Okay? What does it mean, essential reality? It means it partakes of existence to a truer, in a truer sense, in a more real sense. Okay? That's really the Yisod of Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the Yisod of Kol HaTorah Kula. Now you see, Hashgacha is not a nace. We never look at Hashgacha as a nace. That's why we call the Megillah nace nister. What does it mean, nace nister? It means to say that it's Hashgacha, basically. It's Hashgacha. Okay, but it's not nisr neflos, where there are breaches in the law of nature. But there is a law over here that's operating. What is the law? The law is that there is real existence to Klal Yisrael. It's not an accidental phenomenon. It's a real existence. Why? Because they partake of a certain way of life in which gives them existence, which gives them true existence. And because they partake of existence, that's why they can't be annihilated. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, Hashgacha is based on the same principle. Because Hashgacha, what is Hashgacha? Hashgacha is that there is a law in nature of true existence, and this law of true existence means, that's also the mitzvah for Shachanti B'Socham. What does it mean, Shachanti B'Socham? That's what it means. It means to say that before the Mishkan, the individuals reached levels of true existence. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, great individuals partook of existence in an individual way. But no one would ever say that there is existence to an entire group. Okay, we have Rishayim, Tzadikim, it's a different kind of a thing. So how do we know such? How do we know such a phenomenon? That's what Asuli Migdash for Shachanti B'Sacham means, that through the system, the whole group now becomes real. It exists in a more real, in an essential way, an essential way. And that's why they can't be destroyed, because of that principle. That's the principle, that's the Yesod of the Ashgacha. That's the Yesod of the Ashgacha. Yesod of Ashgacha is that what saves the tzaddik is the fact that the act of tzidkus has essential existence, and once it has essential existence, so then that individual cannot be destroyed because he partakes of essential existence. Okay? That's the concept. Yes? How does a person die? The answer is on the contrary. The answer is that Hashoras HaNefesh tells you that that's when he begins to live. He says, L'man yirbu yimeichem v'yimei v'neichem La'olam shekulo oroch. That's the real existence. So on the contrary, when a person dies in Yahadus, death is only insofar as the physical element. But the element that perceives eternities, that element doesn't die. On the contrary, that's when it really exists in its true form. So in Yahadus, death is, that's what Chazal says. Chazal says, Lasu Lavo, when someone will die, what will they say? Atova Meitiv. We're not on the level our emotions fool us and convince us that death is something which is bad, but it's a complete mistake. It's a complete error. The judgment is just based on purely believing your emotions. It's an illusion. It's a complete illusion, according to Yadis. Death is an illusion. Yeah. There's no change. And what is Allah? What is really Tchias HaMeisim? What is Tchias HaMeisim? What is Tchias HaMeisim? Tchias HaMeisim really is that all of Klal Yisrael, you see, the thing is, the problem with the practical is that all of Klal Yisrael can never get together. Because you had tzaddikim that existed from the beginning, from early times, but they didn't exist in the same time as the Rambam didn't exist in the same time as Sadia Gaon, and Sadia Gaon didn't exist in the same time as Bayev Rava. The elements of Klal Yisrael, meaning the people, the great individuals, were never able to exist in one entity, as one entity, as one unit. And that's what Tchias HaMeisim is. Tchias HaMeisim means that there is an existence to Klal Yisrael. So that existence will take place loss of love. It means there is an entity. Is there an entity of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations? Yes, there is. But unfortunately, the components exist. By time separates the components. So Tchias HaMeisim is that there will be removal of that separating element, and all of Klal Yisrael, the phenomenon of Klal Yisrael, will exist as an entity at some time. Okay? Okay? That's basically, that's why, no. What does Ram say? A person that denies Tchias HaMeisim, is Elo, he has no chilek in Torah basis. When you give him a Torah?
How does that follow the idea of
David? I'm saying, the idea of Tzirif is very similar. The idea of Tzirif is the idea of Klal Yisrael. Isn't that the idea of Tzirif? What does Klal Yisrael mean? Isn't that Tzirif?
How does this relate to the concept of...
Tchias HaMeisim?
Yeah.
No, Tchias HaMeisim, the Tzirif is, if there's an... The idea is not a mystical idea. The idea is, there is such a thing as Klal Yisrael. What does Klal Yisrael mean? It means it's made up of components. But there's an ultimate Klal Yisrael, which means the components are all a tzaddikim. Tchias HaMeisim is tzaddikim. Okay? Tchias HaMeisim is not L'Rashayim. Tchias HaMeisim is one tzaddikim. It means to say that there's an entity of Klal Yisrael of which the components are the tzaddikim. So it means that that entity will come into existence, in actuality, at some time. That's what it means. Okay? That's why Chazal say, Ein ben David bor ad sheyichlu kol neshama shebeguf. What does it mean? It means that there's a specific number And there's a specific, that the which are the components of the entire entity of Klal Yisrael. And then when you have all the components, then you can have a situation of Olam HaBo and Tchias HaMeisim. Of course, I mean, another example we gave of the concept of intrinsic existence was expressed by the famous Rabbi Akiva, famous Moshe Rabbi Akiva, with the dogim, with the fish. They take him out of the Mayim. I mean, that's exactly what he said. He said that the Malchus has reached a level now where it means to say that if we follow the Malchus and we don't learn Torah, then there's no existence. And that's when you have to make the decision. That's when Mordechai made the decision. You need the Gadol HaDor to make the decision. Mordechai made the decision. Rabbi Akiva made the same exact decision. At this point, now the Malchus has reached a level where there's no more existence. When you're in the situation where it means you'd have to give up the true existence, then we have to go with the true existence and forget all kind of politics and all kind of etzes. That's ein etzav, ein tfun, and neged Hashem. That's it. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I hope I don't have to make that clear. That doesn't mean that then you act like a crazy person. Esther used tremendous slachma, the whole Megillah. But it means to say that you do come, I'm just trying to emphasize that point, that you do come to a point where you must abandon. There is such a point where you must abandon all your political knowledge. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, but of course, you use chachman so far as possible. You always use chachman. Okay. Now, Mordechai, that's what Mordechai meant. Mordechai meant, Revach Vatzola Yamod La Yehuda Mi Mokomacha. That's exactly what he meant. See, he meant like this. He didn't mean to say, of course, Mordechai was not speaking B'Torah's Nevuah. He was saying that if, in other words, if the decree is, because he didn't know what was going to happen. Obviously, two more lie, Shlosh, because you could have a tremendous Magefa, you have a few Jews left. I mean, you know, that's not a Revach HaTorah. But what he meant was that if the decree is that we have Avtachas, you know, that place will exist, but that doesn't mean you could have a tremendous millions and millions of people. You have a few people left. It also takes centuries and centuries to get back an Umar. So, but what Mordechai meant was like this, that if the decree from God is that Klal Yisrael partakes of true existence right now, which means to say that they cannot be destroyed, okay, then the Shaliach doesn't matter. That's what he said. Revach Vatzola Yamod LeYehuda Mimakom Acher. It means to say that you are dispensable. Because if the existence is imminent, then there is inherent, is intrinsic, so then he says, it does, the Shaliach doesn't matter. That's Habishluchim Lamakom. What does it mean? Al Chazal say, Habishluchim Lamakom. What does Habishluchim Lamakom? It means to say, that's exactly what it means. It means that when a person is on a level where his existence is essential, so then there's many Shluchim. It doesn't matter. The particular Shaliach is dispensable. That's what he meant. Revach Vatzola Ulyamod LaYehudim Mimakom Acher. Okay? But then he says like this. He says, Va'atu Vesovich Tavedu. What is it? Where did he get that from? He says, there, that really comes from the Torah. Because in the Torah, it says, by the Klolas, it says, Va'alachtem Imi Keri. What does that mean? What does the word Keri mean? Keri means Derech Mikra. Derech Mikra means accidental. What does it mean, accidental? It means to say that if you look at the system as merely accidental, but you don't recognize the fact that it partakes of essential existence, okay, so then all the klolos that are mentioned in the Torah will befall that person. That's exactly what Mordechai told Esther. He said to her that if at this time you don't recognize the essential existence of Klal Yisrael, you don't recognize that concept, you deny that concept, then that's Valachta Mimi Keri. Then you think that there's only Derech Mikra. It means to say you don't recognize essential existence. So then, Atu Vesavich Tovedu. How did Mordechai know that? That's all the clause in the Torah. That's exactly what the clause in the Torah says. That a person who denies the phenomenon of essential existence, if they deny that, so then they're destroyed. That's the clause. This is Taveda. You know, the bigger Taveda than that. It's basically a pasuk in the Torah. That's what Mordechai meant. Yes.
Yeah.
Danny is asking a question. He says, why base of ich? At Tovedo. But why base of ich?
Must be a character defect in the whole...
There's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk in the Torah says, with regard to Avodah Zorah, it says, V'nasati esponai bo ishahu uva mishpachto v'chrati oso mikera amo. So you see the pasuk says... So Chazal, if they say... The Chazal is the question. Say, if the person sinned, what does Mishpacha do? Okay? Same question. Same exact question. So what does Chazal say? Chazal say, because if a person, it's impossible for a person to be an Oved Avodah Zarah, that the Mishpacha isn't involved also. That's impossible. And the Mishpacha is involved also. So that's exactly what he said. He said, this is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. Denial of the intrinsic existence of Klal Yisrael at the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it's not just you, but the Mishpacha also that is Chayav. That's what it says. Kedoshim, Perikhof Paskei, the Santin Yisponei B'Ishu V'Mishpachto. That's what Chazal say. Say, yeah. Amar Hashem, Echim Mishpacha Machoto, Ela Lamedcha, She'en Locha Mishpacha, She'yesh Bo Moches, She'en Kula Mochsen, She'kula Machafen Olov. That's what it means. That means to say that this Aver is not a light Aver, it's like a Vodazar. It's a serious fate. It means that you and your Mishpacha are involved in this, and your Ochai is clear. Yeah. Now you understand, now the Rambam becomes intelligible. Why? Because the Rambam says... that when, what is the shikris is Ache Yerodam. Okay, where did that come from? The answer is very simple. Because the Gemara says, until the person doesn't know the difference between Arham and Baruch Mordechai, right? What kind of a shir? The Rambam was wondering, what kind of a shir is that? What does that shir mean? The answer is, the shir is very simple. Now, what is the most important thing for a person in defending himself? The important thing is he has to recognize the difference between his friends and his enemies. And what does he say about his friends? He says, Baruch. And what does he say about his enemies? Aror, they should be destroyed. Baruch and Aror is the most primary, necessary piece of information that a person needs in order to survive in the political world. Who are my friends? Who are my enemies? I mean, what would any melech, any political leader give to find out that the answer to that? Who are his friends and who are his enemies? That's the most important thing. What did Nixon do? Nixon spent half the time away trying to find out who his friends and his enemies are. He knew that you have to know, the main thing is you have to know the difference between Aror HaMum and Baruch Mordechai. That's exactly... Right. So that's exactly... Because the question is, all the Achronim ask a simple question. They say, where do you see, why is this... Why is Purim so different that by Purim you have a mitzvah of shikras? We know. We don't hold from shikras. There's no... Yontif is not a halacha of shikras. Yontif halacha is that you're supposed to drink a certain amount. You should be someach and be in a good frame of mind. Someach v'tov leiv. But it's not a halacha of shikras. If a person gets shikra in Yontif, he's violating Yontif. That's not even chetz yelachem. So how come over here, why over here do you have a mitzvah of shikras? It doesn't make any sense. Shikras and yadis like mutually exclusive. Yadis is seichel. The whole essence of yadis is the seichel ha'adam. If a person drinks a rafias of yayin, he can't go into a middash, can't be mispal, can't be amalif me'asham, he's possible for hara. All the halachas, you see, the essence of the whole system is against any idea of shikras. Any time the mind is in any way impaired or compromised, the adam is compromised and he lacks in his whole shlemus. That's a kala terakula. So how come over here, it's a horrendous question, how come over here the only time you have such an unusual phenomenon, a strange phenomenon, that you're giving a mitzvah of shikras? What's the answer? The answer is, the kiyum is not in the state of shikras. There's never a kiyum in the state of shikras of being karbon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But over here, it is the Maisa Shikras, which is the mitzvah, the state that you're in before you become Shikra, the reason why you do it, which gives the person perfection. Because it means it's a reflection of what? It means that you're abandoning the all political savvy because you recognize that there's such a thing as essential existence. That's the whole system of Yahadis, that there's essential existence, the Ashgacha, the whole concept of the Ashgacha, that's the underlying idea of the Ashgacha. So that's why you have the mitzvah. That's why the Rambam said, very simple. The Rambam says also, that's what it means. It means the person has to put himself in a state where he's helpless. He doesn't know the difference between his friends and his enemies. So the Rambam says, well, what does it mean? It means that's what the Gemara means. So once he falls asleep, he's in the most helpless state that's possible, and that's the key of a mitzvah. That's the key of a mitzvah. That's what the Rambam put it together. In other words, when the Gemara was speaking, Ad lo yoda, Bein Oro Haman Leboruch Mordechai, the Gemara was speaking in the terms of the philosophy of the mitzvah. You understand? That's what the Gemara was talking about, in terms of the philosophy of the mitzvah. The Rambam came and put it in halachic terms. The Gemara didn't express itself in halachic terms. The Rambam said, so the answer, this is what the Gemara means. They have to be in a helpless state, so a person becomes shikra, falls asleep. That's what the Gemara meant. What does it mean that a person has to be so crazy that he doesn't know the difference? I mean, it's an impossible kind of a mitzvah altogether. Or they work on what kind of a thing? I mean, the person has to get that drunk, will probably collapse before he reaches that point. It's an impossible kind of a mitzvah. The Rambam couldn't understand that as a literal mitzvah. What kind of a requirement is that? People can't do that. You one out of 100 people maybe could do it. So how can you have a mitzvah like that for everybody? It's an impossible thing to do in the Kayim. So the Ram says the Gemara is speaking philosophically, but the practical is very simple. The practical is when you fall asleep. That's the practical. Ram makes sense, yeah. Because it's a part of the whole. You see, it's a part of the Suda of Yom Mishta, the Simcha. It's not just sleeping. It's a part of the mitzvah. It's a part. It's tied in. The person just went to sleep. They have no shaykhs to the mitzvah. It's tied into this concept. This idea is a component of the mitzvah of Suda. It's not just to fall asleep. The person went to sleep on Purim. He goes in his bed and goes to sleep. What shaykh is a, what kind of a mitzvah is it? Well, it's a mitzvah. It has to have a part. It has to be tied into the mitzvah. How is it tied into the mitzvah? Suda is a mitzvah. So the shir in Suda brings you to that. Then the sleeping is a mitzvah. Otherwise, sleeping is just starting sleeping. There's no shaykh to mitzvah. It has to be incorporated in the source of mitzvah. Okay? It's a relinquishing of yidea. Okay. Political yidea. Yes. And that's what Howie's mentioning is right, that what Haman wanted the people poor was to show that their existence is a mere accident. That's why he did it. That's why, now you understand the response of Esther was very good. Why? Because the response of Esther was, see if Mordechai, when Mordechai said, Rabbi Chatzal Yamala Yidim Mokom Acher, if he meant that we know for sure, so what's this whole thing, Lech Knos Kol Yehudim? You understand what I'm saying? No, she understood what he meant. She said, okay, you're right. That's true. That if Klal Yisrael partakes of true existence, then there's no problem. But, she said, but let's make sure that that's so. That's why she said, Lech Kenosis Kol HaYehudim Meninsim B'Shushan V'Tzumo Alay Shloshu Yomim. It means she instituted Tainus and Tshuva. Why? She said, then we can be certain that that there is that we partake of true existence and we can't be destroyed. And then you see, that's what she said. That was her answer. That was her response. It's an interesting thing that by the Megillah, Chazal say on the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu, so Chazal say Kimu l'maylo mashe kiblu l'mata. What does it mean, Kimu l'maylo mashe kiblu l'mata? It means that the mitzvah, they invented a mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim. That's what it means. So what does it mean? It means to say that even in the very mitzvah that they structured, that mitzvah partook of true existence. Because that is as comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. That means it's the height of emes. So that's why Kimu V'Kiblu means that the mitzvah itself, in the Tikkun HaMitzvah, they were able to partake of true existence. What does it mean? Because otherwise you don't need it. I mean, you could say they had a right to make the Takana, they had a whole Chakira over there, can we make a mitzvah, not make a mitzvah, so the Sanhedrin sat down, and they worked it out. They worked it out logically. How do we work out any Shaila? You work it out logically. So it worked out Shaila. So what do you need the Kima Lamaila for? So what? And one has to make a mistake. So the halacha is you make mistakes. So what? That's the way the halacha goes. But over here, it demonstrated that not only do they have true existence in terms of the physical survival, but even in the mitzvah itself, partakes of true existence. Because that's really the whole concept of the Megillah. To partake of true existence and the very mitzvah itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskin. Okay. Now let's understand, you see, what exactly the Gemara means by the way, when we say true existence, I just want to mention something else, that the Rabbi Yitzchak in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, so Rabbi Yitzchak says, why did the Torah begin with Sefer Bereishis? Why did it begin with the Chodesh Elohim? So what does Rabbi Yitzchak say? He says, because they'll say, listem atem, and this, what did he mean? I mean, what's the Rabbi Yitzchak is always very funny. What is he doing there? You see? What he means is like this. What he means is, Eretz Yisrael is not a practical reality. That's what he means. It's part of Sheish Yisimei Bereishis. That's what he means. Eretz Yisrael, other countries, people live there. It's a practical reality. It's reality, but it's a practical reality. Eretz Yisrael is not. Eretz Yisrael is part of Sheish Yisimei Bereishis. That's what he means to say. That's the main idea that he's saying. And that's why they hate. They hate the whole, all the goyim, the sinner is, what did Yecheskel HaNavi say in yesterday's Haftarah? That the biggest chilul Hashem is that we are chayiv, not just for doing avers, but we're chayiv for the fact that we got an onesh and we're driven out of Eretz Yisrael. Because what do the goyim say? The goyim say that, Am Hashem Eile Umeyatzam Yatzol. What does it mean? What do you mean? And that's his divorce was precise. Of course, that's exactly what the church said for 2,000 years. They said, the wandering Jew, that you see that they cannot be the chosen people because of the fact that they're outside of it. But what does it mean? It's not a question of chosen people. It's a question of the God of Israel. That's the Chil Hashem. It means they always said, brought a proof that their God is true. And the God of the Torah is false. What's the proof? From Eretz Yisrael. So you see that Eretz Yisrael has a metaphysical dimension, metaphysical reality. It's not a practicality. It has a different, that's why the Kiddusha, that's why Eretz Yisrael was given to us in a different way. It's not something which is a practical. The Torah didn't have to include Eretz Yisrael. The Torah said, give the Torah, and the nation was a nation in the Midbar. They were by Sinai, and they were a nation over there, Mekabel Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu taught them to say Vayikra, and they Mekabel Torah, so they were a nation right there. But apparently it wasn't enough. A passive land could have been a practical thing. Land is not practical. Land is a reality. Just like physics is a reality, there is, Eretz Yisrael is a reality. It's a part of Briyas Olam. That's exactly what Yitzchak said. Okay, it means to say that when the world was created, right at the outset, and the earth was created, Eretz Yisrael was created. Part of Briyas Olam. It's not a practical. It's not a practical phenomenon. Okay, that's why, by the way, Eretz Yisrael Bezmanas is extremely important. Extremely important, because you see, Yecheskel HaNavi says that this is a big Chilul Hashem. The big Chilul. So at least we have that much. At least we have Eretz Yisrael. You see, the church in the 50s, they wrote all kinds of essays to explain how come this whole dilemma, how's it possible that Jews are going back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's precisely what the Navi said. So that is the thing, and that's why they hate. That's why there's such a sin against Eretz Yisrael. What is the sin against Eretz Yisrael? The sin against Eretz Yisrael is because they know that this is not a practical. The Jew isn't. If the Jew were claiming Eretz Yisrael as a practical place, you would never have the sin. Practical place? So what? So they have a problem. What's up there? Why can't the world tolerate that they have a place to live? The answer is, it's not a practical claim. It's a claim that HaKadosh, that the Borei Olam gave them this land. That's what they can't tolerate. You see? That's right. And the pressure. Yeah. The main hatred comes from the fraudulent religions. There are basically the two fraudulent religions, that is Christianity and Islam. because they both took Torah as a base and distorted it. Okay? And that's why what destroys them is where they see, if they see any indication of the true system coming into existence, they know basically it's fraudulent. Anyone with intelligence knows it's fraudulent. So they sense that's the great danger. Yeah, the fact that you're mentioning is true. The early history of Zionism, they were practical people, so they wanted to go to Uganda. But you see, it's an interesting thing. It didn't work. It didn't work. Why? Yeah. It didn't work. Why didn't it work? I'll tell you why it didn't work. Because, I mean, and this is really what Rav Kook was trying to say, that even the Jew that's far removed from Yahadus, somehow or other, the idea, there's a nucleus of that idea is there. I mean, that's where Rav Kook was Melamed Chus on the people that. The fryer, I mean, that went in there. Okay. Now I think we're in a position to understand what the Gemara Chulin means. All right? See, the Gemara Chulin is a mushroom. The Gemara Chulin obviously is a mushroom. It's a mushroom. It's not talking about the sun and the moon. It's astronomy. The Gemara is talking about astronomy. The Gemara is telling us, you see, the Torah is neatly Dorish in different ways. And the Gemara is using one of the methods of Drush. But it's not speaking about the physical sun and the physical moon, their representations. It's derech mashal. What is the mashal? That's the question. What is the sun and what is the moon? The answer is very simple. The sun is the practical forces, and the moon is are the forces, the abstract forces of existence. The abstract existence. That's precisely what the Gemara means. Those two things. So it means to say that the world was created in a way that you have two different systems. One system is practical, the practical causation, okay, and the other system is this non-physical element, this which has true existence, you see, and which at certain times comes to the fore. But that's what the Gemara means. You see, the Shemesh, the Shnei HaMa'oros HaGdolim. The Shemesh is which force? The Shemesh is the physical force. That's what that's what it means. It means like this. The Yoreach came before God. It means there was a problem here. How is it possible to have a world that's working with two different forces? One force is the practical force, the physical force, and the other force is the force of the invisible force, the force of pure existence. How could an ancient name Elohim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad? How could you have such a kind of a system? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Now you be Mamayit yourself. You're right. Which means to say that God was Mamayit, which force? The force of true existence, of pure existence was reduced, you see? That the main thing, if you look at the universe and the whole, and even in the social aspects of man's life, the main force is, unfortunately, the chama. You see? The chama means to say the physical force is physical causation. Okay, so the Gemara says, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, so the moon said, Ho, v'matla f'nara dova hogan, amit es atzmi, am Allah. So God didn't say no. He never took that back. He said, it has to be that way. But he says, l'chi m'sho b'yom b'layla. What does it mean? It means your existence is all the time. You see, that's what you have. The practical forces come and go, but yours is constant because it partakes of true existence. Then he said, "Amrulay, my rabuse, the shraga batira mayahani." Very nice. It always exists, but what does it do? Nothing. In terms of accomplishment, nothing is happening. The practical forces are the ones that are gover. And it's true, it exists. So it exists in rule-based medrash. But in terms of the world, it's like Shraga Batira Mayahani. Amalei zil limnu b'cho Yisrael yomim v'shonim. It means to say that Klal Yisrael will recognize you as the true existence. So you have a whole nation that recognizes your reality. So what did he say? So he says, Yuma Nami, the sun also, Yuma means Chama. Yuma Nami, Yefshid Lo Moni Bei Tekufusa, the Chsiv Hoyu Lo Sulamod, and Liyam Vishana. It says, yes, but Klal Yisrael has to work on the practical too. Mitzvahs are mitzvahs. Even there, the practical element is strong. Mitzvahs have to be based on the practical. So you're telling me that so the Levana said, you're telling me that I'm going to be upheld as pure existence, even in halacha. Halacha is based after you have to know astronomy in order to be kaveh harish. So they're always, so there's a recognition of the practical as well. So then what is this? So what did God say? Zil likri tzadiki bishmecha, Yaakov akot, Shmuel akot, and Davar akot. It means to say, in the social realm, it's true that the tzaddik during his lifetime is not successful, because the chama destroys him. Not destroys, shouldn't say destroyed, overshadows. It's shrago batira. The chama overshadows him, okay, during his lifetime. But after he dies, then on the contrary, then he emerges as the great one in the generation. So the Shmuel HaKotten, Dovra HaKotten, Yaakov HaKotten. So it means to say that in the social realm, you see that eventually the pure existence comes to the fore as the real existence. So during their lifetime, they were overshadowed by the chama, but later they emerge. So what do you say? Chazya delo miyasva daito. It means to say, that's nice, very nice. In retrospect, it's very nice. In retrospect, it's pure existence, but it's not really comforting. Why isn't it really comforting? Because, yeah, the past is very nice, but what about now? What about when we live? When we live, the chama is over. So what does Gemara say? So the Gemara says that Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu Eviu Kapora Laishem Miyatati Es HaYoreach. What does it mean? It means to say Chatas Lashem. What does it mean to say? I'll tell you what it means. It means to say precisely what the way it's interpreted in the tefillah. It means to say that it's not. What does it mean? What does it mean? It's a chatas shemi atati es hayareach. It means to say this. What is a chait? The word chait means a lack of something. It means to say it's not going to be this way always. This is now, but eventually. Loss of Lovo, it's going to be changed. And the Areach is going to have the true existence. That's what it means. You see? That's exactly what Chazal means. I understand what it doesn't mean. See, but it means to say, Chatos means a lack. It means a lack. Kaviyochol, it means to say that this, it's a mushel. It means to say that in this there's a lack. But eventually, the korban chatas l'Hashem means eventually there's going to be a kapara, and it's not going to be this way, but the areach will shine. You see, that's why you say that's exactly what the tefillah says. Yehi ratzon mufanecha l'malei pegimas halavana, v'lo yehi bo shum miyut. You see. It means to say, v'hei ora ke'or sheshis mei bereshis. It means the original, the plan of bereshis, which intrinsically should be, that the areach should be gover, that the true existence should be in the fore, and the physical should subordinate itself to real existence. Okay? But that's not the way it is. That, and that's a takeoff from the bracha, teres, teferes la musei voten, that's from Chazal. Sheheim asim l'scharish kemosa. You see, that's a mashal. It's a mashal. That the Levana is a mashal for true existence, for Klal Yisrael, for true existence. That's exactly what it means. When it says Chatas Lashem, the translation of that is in the Tzivah. That's what it means. So what does it mean? It means La'osid Lavo. La'osid Lavo. La'osid Lavo will be corrected. There's a carbon that's brought every month to indicate that this is only a temporary state and there will be a kapara. And the true state will emerge eventually. Okay? The true state will emerge eventually. Now you understand what is... Now let's go back to the Megillah, by the way. To the Megillah. What is the whole story of the Megillah? What is the whole story of the Megillah is a story of the Chama and the Levana. That's really what it is. The Chama are the forces of Achashverosh and Haman, and the Levana are the forces of Mordechai and Esther. Okay? And the whole Sipur HaMaisa. And when you read it, the unbelievable chachma, the structure of the sipur and every event and the order of the events is all, when you learn it properly, you see all the political acumen that's in the Megillah, you see, and underneath is that's the Chama, and underneath is Lavana, and who is Gover? The Lavana is Gover. That's the whole story of the Megillah. The story of the Megillah is the story of Chama and the Lavana. So that's why the Rambam says very beautifully that the Megillah is the only sefer besides Chamisha Chumshi Torah that will exist when? Lasid Lava. Why? Because that's the story of Lasid Lava. You understand? That's the story of Lasid Lava. Lasid Lava means Sheyimale Akarish Baruch Yimale Pigima Salavana Velo Yehebo Shum Miyot. That's the tefillah. That's Lasid Lava. That's why it says Varei Kayemis Kamita Shel Torah. Okay? Here, this Kayim Bon and Mikra Shikas and Vikshas and Hashem Vezor Malkam means what? What does that mean? That's Lasid Yavi, Mas Mashiach. That's Mas Mashiach. All right, of course, anyone that thinks that the tefillah literally is just talking about. It's not, it has nothing to do with it. Vikshua said Hashem Vez David Malkam. It means you Moshe Mashiach. You're right. I mean, see, it's very interesting. It's very interesting because the Rav one time mentioned, he says that the whole concept of the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov Rosh Chodesh is the Yom Tov of the creation. It's the Yom Tov of the creation. That's really, that's what it is. So on the Yom Tov of the creation, we recognize and we appreciate the creation, but insofar as the social realm of man is concerned, unfortunately it causes a problem. Because the causation, the physical causation in the social situation, results in Gevuras HaChama. That's why every month, on the Yom Tov of the creation, it means the creation will never be complete until the Oreah, so to speak, attained its proper position. I just want to mention one more thing. Agav Orch, I should have mentioned it before, really. I just want to mention that what we spoke about in terms of existence, this concept of Hashgacha, and true existence, and how true existence emerges in its own, it's a Shnei Malachim, it's its own system of causation, but yet it breaks through the other system. Like that's really what happened with the Megillah. Okay? But I just want to mention to you one thing over here. That the machlokes, the essence of the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban on how to interpret, and you see the Rambam takes one course and the Ramban takes another course, is usually the machlokes is whether the mitzvahs haTorah are reflecting the chachma of the Bria itself or whether the mitzvahs haTorah are reflecting the Ashgacha, the system of Ashgacha. The Rambam usually takes the first course, the Ramban the second. You see, that's really what the Ramban means by his, his sodos, and his thing is not, the Ramban was not a mystic. You cannot, if anyone reads the Chumash, the Rambam's spiritual Chumash, he's absolutely not a mystic. He's the greatest rationalist. But he had, what he means in those sodos is he's making a reference to the system, what we would call now, now that we have a little understanding of what it means, the system of the Erech. Basically, that's his Tamei HaMitzvos are in that realm. What's a Chazal mean by the or that, you know, by the or that's Gornez L'Tzadikim Lasid Lava? What does it mean? That's what it means. It means Ke'or Sheshim Erech. It means the or means that then that reality will prevail. Okay? Now, that's also what it means. By the way, when Rashi says, for instance, that the, for instance, by Yaakov Avinu, by Yohan Shem Kivar Shemesh, okay, by Yivgav Makom Yohan Shem Kivar Shemesh. So Rashi says, Rashi means Chazal, that the Beis Hamikdash Shemayla is Mechuvim Kineged Beis Hamikdash Shemata. That's what it means by those things. What does it mean, Beis Hamikdash Shemayla? It means to say that that's the metaphysical system, the system of true existence. So it means that when Yaakov Avinu slept in that spot, it wasn't just some an accidental, coincidental thing, but it partook of a metaphysical reality. Yeah. Here, that eventually, and that's why God gave the problem of a Chazal Shem to indicate this concept, that this lack is here now, but eventually it's going to be...
That's what the Russian government